Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, and I am not in the dugout, but I am joined by my pal Brian Svensson. On the advice of the team doctors, however, we are in separate training facilities. Brian, how are you doing?
I have not tested positive for anything yet, so bless. I'm doing okay. I'm alive.
This is a thing these days that is not necessarily a high bar to clear, but certainly an important one.
Yeah. I'm hoping that everyone stays safe, stays at home, stays safe, stays comfortable, finds whatever way that they can. And we've got some ways of potentially helping you that we'll talk about at the end of this episode.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's just really important that everyone stays healthy and social distance and self-isolates as much as possible. I mean, there's obviously a fine line between caring not enough and caring too much, right? Like, you don't want to be going out there in bulk buying toilet paper, but at the same right. time, like, care about this is important.
Right, and pay attention to what, like, World Health Organization and other experts in epidemiology tell you to do.
Yes.
In these times,
exactly.
Don't hoard things, but certainly take it serious in terms of, like, having what you need to stay safe. So obviously, I mean, if you're listening to this show and you follow baseball, you already know that the season is on hold, like pretty much everything in everyone's life right now because of COVID-19. So we're not necessarily going to belabor that, but we are going to kind of talk about the impact. Right off the hop, I wanted to mention a story that came out on The Athletic over the weekend by Lindsay Adler about a pair of Yankees minor leaguers who have been tested positive for the coronavirus in Tampa.
Yeah.
And have been quarantined.
And apparently the Yankees AA or minor league facilities and their regular facilities, like their main team facilities, aren't in the same place. But at the same time, you know, this is obviously not great. And to every single person, whenever a sports team announces that one of their players has COVID-19 and the Twitter replies are just, oh, who is it? You know, give us a name. Please understand that that's a HIPAA violation. If the players, like, it's a privacy violation. If the players don't want you to know that they have COVID, then they don't have to let you know, you know, like, it's not people. It's not like HIV where you have to alert every single person that you were in contact with. It'd be nice of them to, but at the same time, like, if the person doesn't want to alert the public that they're the ones that, you know, contracted this disease, then they don't have to. And I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And you have to imagine, I mean, within the team, if someone contracts it, then they would then try to trace out whoever they've been in contact with them to make sure that those people then get tested.
Right.
They're just not going to announce who it is or multiples of who they are.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Of that privacy violation. I mean, obviously, we saw this in the NBA with the Rudy Gobert and then Donovan Mitchell. Like
the entire Nets team.
raised some eyebrows about the Jazz and about how that information was disclosed when that game was about to start. But I don't think you're going to see that unless people self-disclose. Like obviously Kevin Durant has announced that he has contracted COVID-19.
Right.
I haven't seen anything about any baseball players yet.
Other than the Yankees minor leaguers.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, no player that I know has, like, self-disclosed about it at this point either.
Right. And, of course, with the World Health Organization and the CDC's recommendation that no large gatherings, more than 50 people, take place for at least 8 weeks, and then a ramp up, including spring training, to help stretch the pitchers out again, we're at the earliest not looking at baseball until Memorial Day weekend, which is the 25th of May. And if any sort of expert inside of baseball is saying that is a laughable projection,
right?
They're pretty much not expecting the earliest that they're expecting baseball's is the All-Star break, and it'll be played behind closed doors. And no fans allowed in. And that would be the earliest that we would be seeing baseball this year.
Which, I mean, is incredible and unfortunate, but I mean, obviously the reality. But as you said, you know, some experts saying in terms of like a 3-month period in which like large gatherings should not be happening. So obviously, you know, any baseball game qualifies.
Correct.
As a large gathering.
Yeah. And I mean, even if you don't include fans, right? Like they're recommending no gathering more than 50 people. Well, with the new 26 man roster, just the teams themselves, not even including managers or staff,
coaches and
television crews, well exceeds that.
Yeah, I would say to like even, you know, bare bones televised, you know, empty stadium, you're probably looking at 150 people.
Yeah, bare bones. I agree. But I do think that there is a pathway for baseball to return well before, like sports in general, to return well before this this pandemic has really kind of run its course. It's going to require them getting their hands on consistent, effective, rapid testing.
Yeah.
And you're basically you're testing the players and the staff and everybody involved like multiple times a day kind of thing, or, you know, at least once a day. And then, yeah, of course, having basically sectioned off closed stadiums and very likely having them play their games all in one place. Right, like errors, like how be, so that way you're able to like, because the problem isn't necessarily at that point with the actual games themselves, the stadiums, because those are all controlled environments. It becomes travel and
right.
And lodgings, right?
Yeah, because if you've got, I mean, most teams obviously are hiring out a plane. They're not like flying commercial or something.
Correct. You just drive up to the plane and take off, but still.
But still, you're adding factors that just can't be quite so controlled. And then, yeah, like you said, lodging. I mean, you know, unless you're locking down a facility, you can't ensure that outside carriers could get in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. This whole entire situation is scary, but I do think that there is a possibility, slim as it may be, that we see sports before this pandemic has really run its course. I think, and this is kind of going off a little of other into other sports, but to all the sports that are talking about, you know, potentially canceling their seasons because they're afraid of running into the next season, I think that's ridiculous. And I think that's a disservice to the fans. I think that it is far more important to finish something that you have already started than it is to care about something that hasn't even begun yet. And if it takes 2 years to finish whatever season you're currently in, then you do it, I think, before you worry about starting another season. you know, you just start pushing other stuff back. You have to get creative with your solutions, but you just start pushing stuff back. That's not a problem with baseball. We didn't start anything. Mm-hmm. So if they do have to cancel, and I think it is, if I'm being perfectly honest, I think it is a more likely than not likely outcome that they end up having to cancel this season. I think that is, I mean, if you have to cancel the season, then you have to cancel the season. You haven't started it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it raises a philosophical question about, like, what is a season, right? I mean, is a shortened season the season, right? Or do you just kind of, like, you know, I'm thinking in particular about the NBA who played about, like, three quarters of their regular season games. Do you just say, okay, that's the regular season up to that point, and then we're going to skip to the playoffs, right? Like, how do you kind of come up with that? And then for baseball, obviously, like, there's the history behind the fact that, like, teams play 162 games. It's the day-in, day-out game. Really haven't had a lot. I mean, there's
the strike historical. The strike shortened season in 95, season. Right? They played 140 games, and I don't think we're going to get anywhere remotely close to that, even if we do. I think it is an incredibly optimistic view to think that we'll get 100 games, 100 regular season games of baseball this year.
I would have thought, like, half of a regular season would be an optimistic thing at this point, based on kind of what timelines 81? I'm seeing.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's probably yeah. And I don't necessarily know that you call 81 games a season.
I mean, this is a good question. You raise an interesting question in terms of, like, so I mean, obviously the spring training takes place in two different places, right? Obviously in Florida and in Arizona.
Right.
Like, would you foresee, like, the teams that play in one and the teams that play in another, they just basically say, this is the division, or this is, like, the AL and the NL of this year, and then just keep those teams on site at that facility, you know, dedicate, like, buy out a hotel or something that everyone stays in?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Play out of, like, the best of the minor league ball or the spring training facilities for the course of the season, let's say?
I think that creates a harder problem for the teams in Florida, right? Because there are less good facilities in Florida.
Right. They're the older ones, yeah.
But I do think that is a possibility. I mean, it depends on how desperate they are to actually play the season, right? If they have determined that they have the capability of protecting the health of the players and the staff on site, as long as it is, you know, sectioned off, then... yeah, I could see it happening, but I mean, I also do think it's a very big long shot.
Yeah, I'm just kind of at this point spitballing based off of what you said, just kind of thinking, like,
yeah,
that's at least a controllable thing because you're, like, localizing it. So
I think that's the most likely outcome for us to see baseball this year. I think that's the most likely outcome for us to see. Because, like, if you think about it, right, the CDC and the experts on the WHO have all said that the most favorable timeline for a vaccine is, like, 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if you're optimistic and say that, like, because the whole entire world is working on it, you're able to maybe knock 2 months off of that. That's 10 months before we get a vaccine. You know, if you go the Britain route and just kind of hope and pray on herd immunity, you know, that might take 6 months. I don't know, Mike. I'm not an expert in these things. I have no idea. I think it's pretty likely that we don't see baseball this year, which sucks. And it raises a whole bunch of other questions that you know, drive you to insanity. Like, you know, baseball is built on this crazy Ponzi scheme of service time. And, like, what the hell did they do with that? Right? Like, you know, if they do manage to get it in, right, and they play 100 games of baseball, do the Dodgers only get 100 games of Mookie Betts? Like, how does that work? You know, and does it push everyone's timeline back a year? Like, I don't understand. I do not understand what the heck goes on. And the players aren't going to want to give up that service time argument, even if it is for a year, because then the slimy owners are just going to use it like a cudgel on them during the next CBA negotiations, which, by the way, are right around the corner. And the owners aren't going to want to give those players, the freedom. You know, like, the Dodgers aren't going to want to be like, yeah, okay, Mookie, you know, we traded for you to play 162 games, but because of this thing that affected everybody, you know, we only got you for 81. That's your service time. Congratulations, you're a free agent. Like, I just don't see teams being willing to do that. So,
no.
You know, like,
now, I know we're both subscribers to The Athletic, and I mean, you can obviously kind of like choose what goes into your feed so that you see certain stories. I don't know, have you chosen to have sports business stories in your feed?
Yeah, always. I mean, I'm a big economics fan, so.
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, a lot of the writing I've seen so far on the impact of COVID-19 has been around the NBA, but talking about, you know, like issues of like the impact on cap, and with the MLB having a no cap, but in terms of like team revenue being fixed in part to obviously gate, like ticket sales, and then also to like TV deals and that kind of revenue, if we're coming up on a new CBA, whether the owners try, as it's been insinuated the NBA might have, is to like essentially like bring wages down via this.
Yeah, kind of, I mean, you know,
jobbing the kind of numbers by just like focusing in on this like very anomalous year.
I think the two things I think people need the most in this particular time are compassion and compromise. And yeah. I don't see trillionaire MLB owners having much of either. So I guess we'll see.
No, although thankfully, like, you know, you've seen at least some owners come forward.
I think a lot of it's peer pressure.
And this is the thing, but I'll take that peer pressure, because you've seen it with the Calgary Flames and the Winnipeg Jets.
God, I wish I had a whole half an hour to talk about that.
Oh, I know. We should phone into the hockey show on Thursdays to chip in about Chipman. But, I mean, you're seeing instances of it, but it's not a guaranteed thing. And even like kind of closer to home, I was reading a different piece on the Athletic that I hadn't really even given thought to yet. But Bill Shea wrote about the pandemic as a threat for independent baseball leagues where margins are the thinnest. And so obviously here in town, the Goldeyes.
Yeah, I think the Goldeyes are fine, right? I think we've talked about we might have mentioned this. It's definitely a point I've held strong to, is that when the U.S. Pass that bill that made it okay to pay minor leaguers minimum wage, but only for the hours that they were actually on the ball field, right? And that meant that I thought it was gonna be very bad for independent leagues, because it ends up costing them more, right, by locking them into a fixed wage. So I mean, I want ball players to be paid, obviously. I'm not on the side of ownership. But in the independent leagues, I don't think can really exist paying players like a decent wage, unfortunately. They can't.
Right.
But the Goldeyes, because they make so much money and Sam Cates has so much money, I think they'll endure. Right? They're not paying anybody right now. They don't have a team to pay. You know, their staff is incredibly minimal.
Yeah, that's true.
Sam can pay them. And the ballpark exists. He pays pennies on the dollar and no taxes every single year on that ballpark. He owns all the copyrights for the brands. So, and I think there are other teams that are like that. So I think independent baseball will exist. I just unfortunately think there will be far, 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 far fewer teams. The juggernauts will still exist, you know. The Fargos of the world, the St. Paul's of the world, the Wichita, the Texas, the Chicago's, some of the teams in the Atlantic League, those teams will exist. But I have a hard time believing that, like, the Gary South Shore Railcats will still exist, for example. You know, the whole entire Can-Am League with the Trois-Rivières Eagles. And, you know, I have a hard time believing that those ball clubs will still exist. You know, teams like the Sonoma Stompers won't exist anymore. And that's soul-crushing to me. And to you, too. We're both such huge fans of independent baseball that it sucks.
Yeah, even as much as the every major league ballpark is a bucket list, like the dream bucket list is like a nice road trip to a whole bunch of like independent ball.
Yeah, and you know,
just take like a month in the summer and drive.
You and three of your best friends driving, visiting all these independent ball locations, drinking King cans for like a buck, and enjoying all kinds of weird food and just meeting the people that frequent these games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, thinking about the joy that we can find in baseball, I think maybe kind of lead us or pivot us towards what we were discussing off air about what we're going to do here on over air over the next little while. Because obviously, I mean, you know, talking about like the upcoming fantasy season seems irrelevant because there might not be a season to play fantasy off of.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that'll work for fantasy teams too. Like if I've got keepers, right, or like protected rookies that are on a timeline.
Yeah.
Like how are leagues going to handle that?
Well, I mean, I guess you know, in the same way that the teams are probably going to have to figure out in terms of service time in real life, we're probably going to have to see some sort of. I mean, it's probably going to be a lot easier because usually the commissioners of a fantasy league are a little more receptive than the owners of the baseball teams
and their players too, right? They're gonna want to keep their rookies or whatever they're keep anyways. Yeah, that's not important, I suppose.
No, but yeah, so there's like indefinitely no baseball, but we have a baseball show, so we're gonna try to do some fun and quirky and probably some unoriginal things as well, but stuff to keep you entertained if you like baseball. I guess we'll be a little more active on the Twitter account. At the Bench Jockeys is our Twitter handle. So we'll take, you know, listener feedback and some off-air participation as we record these episodes from home in advance of Friday mornings when it'll air. But I think the first one we're going to do a baseball movie draft for next week's episode.
We have a whole bunch of drafts lined up that we want to do. We have a whole bunch of drafts that we lined up that we want to do. So baseball movie draft, I think we wanted to do a baseball book draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could do a baseball video game draft.
Oh, interesting. So actually when we were talking about like if there's no season this year, it's like, do we just get like MLB The Show and run a simulation to figure out who gets the World Series this year?
So crazy thing that's going on in soccer right now is that a lower level English club called Leighton Orient has organized a hundred and whatever the multiple of eight is, 124? I'm bad at math. 128 team tournament on FIFA where the person that plays has to be a member of the team.
Okay.
And all the games are going to be live streamed. And they did this huge draw and there's this 128 team single knockout tournament that's going to start taking place next week. And they're going to do one game. Like they're going to do one game a week. Like each team is going to play like a game a week. Basically, they're going to do one round every single week. The Brandon Wheat Kings are playing, are simulating out their schedule on NHL 20 and streaming those games.
Wait, so is there WHL teams on the NHL 20?
Yeah, there's been WHL teams. There's been WHL teams on the NHL game since 2012 or 2013, I want to say.
Okay, so that tells you the last time I bought an NHL game platform.
It's been a while. Yeah, they've got the Dub teams. They've got all the CHL teams exist. All the AHL teams exist. I think the ECHL teams exist now as well, as well as some European leagues. I think the Finnish SM Liga, the Czech League, and the Swiss League all exist on the NHL games.
Wild. One other one that I had suggested I'm really keen to do is we're going to draft or put together a starting lineup from members of the Hall of Fame that will each essentially like go back and forth snake draft style to put together a fielding an actual squad from the Hall of Fame membership.
Yeah, no, that'd be really cool. Obviously, because you end up with like all-time rosters, and I'm sure some pretty wacky picks too. Like, I'm sure nobody would be surprised if I, you know, picked Doc, for example. You know, so.
No, absolutely. I mean, you gotta have those like, the heart wants what the heart wants kind of picks in these kind of drafts.
Can I pick Mike Trout? Is that an option? I mean, he's gonna be in there.
Provided the world continues and there is a Hall of Fame and inductions several years down the line, he probably will be there. But unfortunately for you, he's not there yet.
Dang, that sucks. But we'll try and knock those out because especially with a video game, the books and the movies, we're wanting to do this to help provide you know, extra content for not only listening to the show, but potentially things for you guys to explore if you haven't yet. You know, here's especially with the books where you're so in depth and read so many baseball books, it can be like it can be a wealth of resources for you guys to go and be like, okay, I'm stuck here for, or I'm social distancing for potentially the next 6 months. I'm going to need some things to stop myself from going stir crazy. Here's a list of things that both Brian and Mike like and enjoy that can help enhance my baseball living experience in the meantime.
Absolutely, yeah. I know, and I mean, when it comes to something like the picks for the books, we're not just going to like say the title and like move on to the next draft pick. We'll give some background and some rationale for our picks so that folks get a sense of what those books are if they haven't read them, so that hopefully they do seek those out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so hopefully that's really cool. Another thing that I would like to try once we run out of those ideas, or once we've cooked through those ideas, is maybe following in the footsteps of our spiritual brethren, Tipping Pitches, and start watching older games and then commenting on them, you know, not necessarily like live commenting, but just like, you know, talking about things that we notice, because there's a plethora of live games available for free on YouTube. In fact, MLB themselves have uploaded the live broadcast from MLB TV to YouTube for every single game existing from 2009 until 2018. I've also found a whole bunch of other older games, including a whole bunch of old Japanese NPB games.
Nice.
Some like, including some Ichiro games.
Oh, when he was with the Oryx Blue Wave. Have to go back and look, because I lived in Nagoya in 94, so I did go to Chinichi Dragon Games and saw the Oryx Blue Wave back when Ichiro was there.
So, I mean, I think it'll be a very pleasurable experience for us to go back and watch some of these games, or watch some games that we never got to watch, and then talk it through with you guys, the things that we noticed and enjoyed about it. So hopefully we can help guide you through these tough times.
Absolutely. And I think maybe if we can swing it, because we were hoping in terms of looking ahead to the summer schedule, to get some authors on to talk about baseball books. We've done that in the past with authors about new baseball books that are being published. So if we can figure out a way to, you know, tape a three-way call this way, hopefully we can get some authors on to talk about those books. I know there was one where an author opened up an old pack of baseball cards and then tracked down every player from that pack. And I'm really looking forward to reading that book, and certainly would love to talk to the author about his experience.
Yeah, no, that'd be super cool. We can do whatever we can. I can test some stuff and maybe we can make it happen.
All right. Well, that pretty much does it for this edition of the Bench Jockeys. Of course, Democracy Now! Coming up, and Amy Goodman with the latest and not so greatest. But No Zooks, that means we don't say play ball, but hopefully you are staying safe and finding something of pleasure in your life right now.
Yeah, yeah. From all of us to all of you, stay, hang in there, hang in there.
Strike three, you're out.